Welcome. This is Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. May God enable you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to see you today. Think back to this past Tuesday and think about all the snow coming down and think about the difficulties over at Cleveland Hopkins Airport. So there were planes that were needing to land. So what needed to happen? The runway needed to be prepared. Without proper preparation, it would not turn out well. Well, what was going on in the days of John the Baptizer? The Messiah was coming, and people's hearts needed to be prepared, so John was sent to do that preparation. That's our focus today, Mark chapter 1, as we see the work that God did through John. But also important for us today, though, let's be open, each one of us, let's be open as to how God is wanting to work through us today to help others know the Christ of Christmas. Going back to our text here, we're coming to the beginning of the good news as we go back to verse 1, and it says, the beginning of the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's focus on the word beginning here for a moment. I want to think about it in three ways. I want to think about the very beginning. I want to think about a whole bunch of reminders in between. And then we come to the beginning of the actual coming. So we can have multiple beginnings here. First of all, think back to God creating the world and creating Adam and Eve. Was there any need at that time for good news? There wasn't. They had not yet fallen into sin, so no need for the gospel. However, though, very shortly after God created the people, they did fall into sin, so they experienced immediate spiritual death. They would experience eventual physical death, and they were in desperate need of good news. So on the very day they fell into sin, God promised in so many words that according to his timing, he would send his son. His son is the Messiah. His son is the Christ, and he would take away the sin of the world. That was the first promise on the day of the first sin. And then a long time went by. So think about the promise being made in the Garden of Eden, and think about the arrival of John the Baptizer on the scene. We're talking about 4,000 years. When people say they're going to do something, and after a long time they don't do it, do we tend to give up on that thinking, oh, I guess they're never going to do it? Do we sometimes maybe apply the same thing to God? Oh, wait a minute, God promised this or this, and yet he hasn't done it yet. Maybe he's never going to do it. Sometimes we can think that way, but we should never, ever apply such reasoning to the Holy Word of God. We should always know, because God said it, God will do it. In fact, God must do it. God cannot lie. And always keep in mind, God always has the ability to do whatever he said. He is the Almighty God. So what did God do? Over and over again in the Old Testament, God is giving reminders of the promise he made in the Garden of Eden. He wants us to remember that he has not forgotten, and according to his timing, he is going to fulfill the promise that he has made. In fact, all the promises that he has made. So when we come to the gospel reading here today, and it says the beginning of the gospel, it's not really the beginning of the gospel as far as when the promise was made, but it's the beginning in that we're coming to the actual arrival of the Messiah. So we know it's prophesied that John would come first, he would prepare the way, and right after him would come the Messiah. So we are talking about the beginning of his actual arrival. Going on to the second part today, we're focusing on the prophecy about John's work. So in verses 2 and 3 here of Mark chapter 1, the Bible says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Who is speaking here and to whom is he speaking? Take a look at it again. Behold, I, that would be God the Father, behold, I, God the Father, send my messenger. Who is my messenger? That is John the Baptizer. So he says, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you. Who is the you? That would be the Son of God. So behold, I send my messenger ahead of you. And what is he going to do for you? For you, my son? He's going to prepare the way for you. How is he going to do that? He's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. If we think about that statement was breathed out by the Almighty God. It was written down by Isaiah about 700 years before the coming of John the Baptizer. And then, what did God do through John? After he sent him, John followed the word of the Lord. He went out into the wilderness and he cried out. In other words, he proclaimed the truth of God. And then what did God do? God used what John proclaimed in order to prepare the people to receive the coming Messiah. So God had it all planned out. He executed the plan perfectly in every way. And then we come to the main message here of John. Going to verse 4, it says, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So what's that phrase all about? Well, John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and we could say he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the sending away of sins. Think about this idea of sending away. So when we think about each other, or at least when we think about ourselves, we probably can't make a distinction between ourselves and our sin. They just seem to be completely bound up together. But what has God done, though? God has taken us, and he has taken our sin, and he has made a separation between them. This is so important. This is going to give us such great joy knowing this is true. Here's how Lenski put it, a Bible commentator. He wrote, "The sins are taken away from the sinner and are sent away so far and in such a way that even God will not find them on the day of judgment." Isn't that great news? I mean, how many people are ebbing toward death, and then they're beginning to think of all these sins they have fallen into, all these sins they have even dove into, and they're like, oh dear God, I'm so afraid of dying because I know of my sin. What is the Bible teaching here? Rather than go to Lenski, let's go to the Word of God itself. Here in Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he, that is the Lord, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. How far is it between east and west? So if you start traveling east around the globe, when will you come to west? How far do you have to go? Never ever do you come to west. You keep going east, east, east. So God wants us to know there is an infinite distance. If he would have said north and south, when we start going north, eventually we're going to start going south, but not with east and west. So there is an infinite distance. So think about yourself, think about your sins, and then realize that God has done this. God has taken and made a separation between us and our sins, and it is so far we can't even comprehend how far away our sins are from us. That is such great news. Let's rejoice that God has done that for us in Jesus Christ. So what was the process of John's main message? John preached, The Holy Spirit was at work in order to convict the people of their sins, to make them sorry for their sins. The people confessed their sins, and then the people were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. What was their response to John's message? Well, it says in verse 5, "And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." That is significant there. Notice what it says again, all the country of Judea, all the people of Jerusalem. There might have been a million people that went out to hear John. It's kind of a crazy thing. Think about it. They're living in towns or cities. They're somewhat comfortable. And yet, why would they go all the way out into the wilderness to hear John? What was going on with that? I think these are some of the reasons. Let me give them to you now. John was different. So some people maybe went out just to see what was going on. Maybe it was a bit of a spectacle, but we're not told that in the Bible. But he was in the wilderness rather than in the city, so that was different. You think that he would have come to them, but rather they had to go to him. He was wearing very rough clothing. He wasn't dressed like a priest, but he had on this camel's hair. He was eating very unusual food. Something's up with that guy. We need to see what's going on with him. Why would he want to eat that locust and wild honey? And then, this is getting to what's most important, I think. He was telling them the truth of God rather than telling them what they wanted to hear. So it's so tempting to say, oh, I want a lot of people to come and hear, so if I tell them what they want to hear, maybe they'll be happy and maybe more and more will come. So a lot of people get thinking that way, but not John. John is like, I'm going to tell them the full truth of God. And that's what he did. So upon getting the full truth, what happened? They're like, oh, now I know I'm a sinner. Now I know I'm in trouble. Maybe they're thinking, oh, I wish I didn't even come. But what else did John have for them? John also had for them God's gift of full forgiveness. So it was so important for their sins to be fully made known to them, and then for them to be able to receive that full gift of forgiveness. Imagine people who had been out there in the wilderness, they went back into the city, and they were probably telling the story, oh, I went out there, I wasn't sure what to expect, but he told me the truth, and boy, did I know I was a rotten sinner, but then he assured me that through the coming Messiah, I would have full forgiveness. And even now, I know I am forgiven through the coming Messiah. So it was just such great joy. And when people heard about that, they wanted to go and find out the same kinds of things. What about us? We want to get to us today. It's great what happened with John years ago. But what about for us today, though? Why will people come to us? I have a number of things here I want to share with you, and I think these are important things for all of our lives so that people know where we stand, and hopefully people will be drawn to come and find out more about our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, it is so vital that we practice what we preach. In other words, we do in agreement with what we say. So important. Also, too, it's important that we let people know that we care about them. We're not just trying to give them the word of God, but we genuinely care about them. There's various ways that we can show that to them. We also pray for them. So we get to know people a little bit, we find out what's going on with them, and then we can add different things to a prayer list. So I hope all of you have an actual list. So you have names written on the list, you have different needs written on the list, and you are praying for people. And then maybe every so often, we have to contact various people on the list and say, I'm just calling to check up on you. I've been praying in this way, and I want to see how you're doing. Now, when we do that, some people might be like, oh, I had no idea you were praying for me, but thank you so much. So that's a way to help people know that we care about them, and then we should be kind to them. What's another word for kind? That would be the word merciful. So we should be merciful toward them. So even if they're not the best way toward us, we are kind to them anyway. We are merciful to them. That can make a difference for them. Also, we are honest with them. Sometimes people can say something to us and we're like, oh, if I'm honest with them, they might not like that. But we should be always honest with them, but we can do so in a way that is kind, and hopefully they'll understand, and hopefully they'll even respect us for being honest with them. That's an important thing. Also, we speak with words that are relevant to them. You know, some people say, oh, that Bible is so old, that doesn't mean anything to us today. But because this book is relevant to us today, it's important that when we talk to others, we show them how this is relevant to them as well. That is important. And then finally, we want people to know that our greatest desire for them is that they would have God's forgiveness, they would have God's gift of peace. So if we're putting ourselves forth in all those different ways, now some people are going to say, nope, I don't want it, I'm not interested. But there are other people that are going to be drawn to us because of how we are, because of what we have, and by the grace of God, some of them are going to receive and some of them are going to have great joy. May God help us in all those different ways. And then coming to the end of the sermon here, we come to the humble life of John. So it tells us in verse 6, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. What do those things tell us about John? Well, it tells us about John, he didn't spend much time at the barber shop, and he wasn't shopping at Kohl's, that's for sure. But I think what it tells us, though, about John, his focus was on knowing God and doing the will of God. He wasn't getting caught up in all the other things that can consume the time in our lives. Focused on knowing God, knowing and doing the will of God. He didn't care about his own comfort. We can't even hardly imagine how scratchy that camel hair must have been against his body. But he wasn't concerned about that, though. What about us as Americans? Most of us, I think, are pretty comfortable. And we like our comforts. It's a nice thing. But yet, I think God is calling us through his word, even thinking about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's calling us to be more like John. He's calling us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, whatever that might be, and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to ponder what that means for us to be more like John, to focus more on knowing God, to focus more on knowing and following the will of God for each of our lives. And then finally, at the end here, we see John pointing the people to Jesus. The Bible says, "And John was preaching and saying, 'After me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Now keep in mind, here is John way out in the wilderness, and multitudes of people are going out to him. Some of those people thought, this guy, he has got to be the Messiah himself. But what did John do? John basically said to the people, hey guys, let me set you straight here. I am the lowest. The coming Messiah, he is the highest. All I can do is baptize you with water. When he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he wanted to set the people straight on that. Even when we think about sharing the truth of God with others, they shouldn't be giving us any praise. All of the praise for any good thing we might say or do, that should all go to the Almighty God. That's what John was doing. He was deflecting everything to Christ. That's what we should do too. We should be thankful for the privilege that God would use us in that way, but all the glory goes to him. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the great example of John, so obedient and such a blessing to countless people. Help us today, here in 2020, and as we proceed further in our lives, help each of us so that in our own small way, help us to be like John to others as we seek to be certain ways unto your glory and to prepare the way so that others might receive their Lord Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen. If you are searching for a church home, see our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, and attend with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.